The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. I'd like to continue a little bit kind of this exploration that I've been doing about the inner critic. And just to recognize that sometimes the inner critic arises when there's a certain amount of difficulty, when something isn't quite going the way that we want. There might be this quiet way in which there's this, we want to like lash out and blame or in some kind of way. And sometimes the blame is towards ourselves. Sometimes like when I like make a silly mistake, that's like, oh, sometimes I hear myself going, Diana. I just say it out loud, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Here's this kind of like this inner critic that's kind of saying, get it together in some kind of way. So there's so many different ways in which this inner critic can show up for us. It can be really strong and debilitating, or it can just be like a pesky friend too. So there's a wide range. And maybe for sometimes, you know, it's at one end of the spectrum and sometimes it's at the other end of the spectrum. Or maybe you only have it at one end of the spectrum, however it is. It's pretty common. I don't want to say that everybody has it, but it's pretty common. But I wanted to point to something that we're doing here with like this loving kindness practice or this happy hour is that trying to maybe look at or consider or experience a different way of showing up or taking the authority or the power away from this inner critic. The inner critic can go away, but it's a long, slow process. And this is part of it. But I want to highlight that when there are difficulties, whether it's just we're feeling frustrated because we're in traffic or we just made a really big mistake for our company and we're afraid we're going to get fired, whatever it might be, that we often think that there's only two choices for dealing with these difficulties. One is to just let all our reactions out and allow them to be expressed or felt. So often this reaction, as I said, is the inner critic. So when there's a difficulty, the inner critic gets activated and we just let it go, let it run loose and do whatever it's going to do. And somehow there's a way in which we're giving it authority or we're believing all the stories that it's saying, maybe because it sounds familiar. So that's one reaction we can have. Or another reaction when there's some difficulties that arise, again, whether it's minor or major, quote unquote, difficulties, is to kind of like suppress them or deny them or just turn away and try to avoid them and not look at them at all. And of course, this doesn't work in the long run. Everybody has tried this. It's just human nature to try this. And if it did work, right, you wouldn't be here at a happy hour. You would just be avoiding all the difficulties and you wouldn't be trying to come up and learn something else. But what I'd like to suggest is that this loving kindness practice is a third option. A third option. It's not just letting the inner critic run rampant and believing everything. And it's not suppressing or denying difficulties. But the third option is to recognize what's happening and just hold it. Like, yeah, this is exactly what I didn't want, and this is exactly what's happening. And can we just hold it? It's not always easy. And maybe we can only hold it for a little bit, and then we have to do option one or option two. We have to vent or we deny or repress or something. But then maybe we can come back to this holding again. And this is absolutely something we can learn. And that we often can build a little bit of confidence with this holding. Like, oh, okay, it didn't burn me. Sometimes we have this feeling like, you know, like when there's a difficulty, like we don't want to touch it because it's going to sear us. But it's only through experience again and again and again of holding things that we realize, oh yeah, okay, I can do this. And so part of this holding is, we might say, this is some compassion for ourselves. This recognition that there is suffering. Suffering is a big, broad term that means just mild annoyance to really, like the worst you can imagine, horrifying. It's recognition that there's suffering, but meeting it with warmth and kindness. Compassion. And so with the self-compassion practice, we practice with this idea of, we bring to mind some difficulties and then we say the phrase, may these difficulties be held with kindness and ease. It's not always easy. That's why we have to practice this. But sometimes it's just helpful to recognize, oh, actually, there is a third option between just letting the inner critic or the difficulty run wild or repress or deny it, to hold it. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. Do a little bit of mindfulness, and we'll do a little bit of loving kindness, because just to relax and warm up, so to speak, like allow there to be some ease in the body and the mind. And then from that place of ease, approaching the difficulties, just so that we have the muscle memory, so to speak, the neural networks, neural pathways, the mental experience of holding things with ease. So we're going to create the conditions in which we can do that here, so that you can then take that out into your daily life. Okay, so just landing in the body in this moment. Just feeling, noticing the bodily sensations, whatever is there. Is there a way you can meet it with a certain amount of openness and allowing yourself to shift your posture so that you can be comfortable? No need to be uncomfortable. Rest in the attention on the sensations of breathing. And when the mind wanders, we don't have to make it a problem. We just very simply, gently begin again. Just tuning into the sensations associated with breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's uncomplicated, straightforward, to feel warmth, care, love, kindness, goodwill. Bringing this lovable being to mind, whether it's a furry family member or a human family member, or maybe somebody that you don't know personally, but they have touched your life in some kind of way. Bringing them to mind, connecting with them. And feel if there is any warm-heartedness towards this lovable being, tuning into that. It might not be there, that's perfectly fine. And then to support our cultivating loving kindness, support our like tuning in to this goodwill that we have, we can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Feeling this warm-heartedness, this connection, this care with the lovable being can be helpful to check in with the body and see if there is any openness or warmth or softness around the heart or chest. If there isn't anything there, it's perfectly fine. But if there is, can you allow that to be a support for your loving kindness practice? And then to extend this loving kindness to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we extend this warm-heartedness to ourselves? No matter how we find ourselves today, May I be saved. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now, with this loving kindness that we've been cultivating, sinking into, we can use that as a support for some compassion practice for ourselves. So for this, bring to mind a difficulty in your life, a minor difficulty. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 2 or a 3. Bring that difficulty to mind. You can say this phrase. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Might be that you run out of a little bit of energy of meeting difficulties with kindness and ease. And just go back to doing some loving kindness practice, either for yourself or for the lovable being. Might there be just in a relaxed, easy way, like a support, the heart and the mind being filled with some warmth and care, while we are also expanding, stretching our capacity a little bit to be with difficulties. You might discover that having held some difficulties with kindness and ease, just other difficulties are showing up. If ever it feels like it's just too much, you can do some mindfulness, go back to loving kindness practice. Whatever feels supported. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So this idea of a third option of how to be with difficulties, rather than letting them get fully expressed or repressing them, holding them. And we could even say the inner critic, of course, is a difficulty, or sometimes the inner critic gets activated because of difficulty, but right, it's all kind of intermeshed, but it's this recognition that sometimes we have a preference of either denying or expressing really loudly, you know, we have a preference for one end of the spectrum, or maybe we are do a little bit of both. But just to remind us that there's a third option. We can just hold difficulties as best we can, right? This isn't easy. It's not fast. It's not pretty. It's not, I don't know, it's not neat and tidy, but this is how life is, and this is how we kind of like learn to do things differently, as we kind of like stretch ourselves and do something that we hadn't done before. So now I'd like to create the opportunity for you guys to express some of this care and warmth and ease, and maybe hold difficulties with warmth and ease. I hope not. I hope this isn't difficult. But to allow you to be in small groups, and you can talk about this idea of maybe this idea of a third option as a way to be with difficulties. And we might even consider, or we can consider, that the inner critic is a difficulty, right? When it's putting us down, pushing us around, that type of thing. So, and in these breakout rooms, it's really helpful if you just say one thing and just let it go to the next person, and they say one thing, let it go to the next person, they say one thing, and then it comes back around. This is a different than, you know, educating others, informing others, showing off for others. Or, you know, sometimes we just feel passionate about a topic and we just really want to talk a lot and share with everybody. But I think it's best if we have, as a way to express our care for each other, is to make space for everybody, the introverts and the extroverts, and allow everybody's kind of voice to be heard, and for everybody to feel like they've been seen, instead of like, oh my gosh, there's only 20 seconds left. Okay, the last person goes, right? So instead, to kind of create an environment that is supportive for everybody in the group. And for this group, let's go in numerical order according to the last digit of your phone number. Okay, here we go. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. Sorry, or maybe it was great that you were in there a little bit longer than you expected. I had a little technical glitch and didn't bring you back. And Trudy's giving, she didn't mind at all. Okay, good, good. Sometimes it's nice to have a little extra time then. Okay, well, here we are at the top of the hour, but does somebody have like something quick that they'd like to say, a comment? Was that nice to be in the group a little bit longer, or? Or like, Diana, don't do that again. Trudy. Oh, yes, yeah. We have to unmute. I don't think I can unmute you. Yeah, you have to unmute yourself. Sorry, Trudy, I can't hear you. Okay. Okay, great. Great. So thank you, guys. And I'll see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you. Yes. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Good night.
Bye.